Charles Stanley Radio. The latest economic updates, insights and conversations with finance industry experts.
Hello and welcome to this latest podcast from Charles Stanley. I'm Gary White, the Chief Investment Commentator, and I'm joined by Rob Morgan, one of our commentators on personal finance. Hi Rob, how are you?
Afternoon Gary, I'm very well, thank you, and you?
Yep, not too bad. We're here to talk about today's budget from Jeremy Hunt, which didn't really contain a rabbit out of the hat, but some radical surprises, especially in terms of pensions. It really painted a more upbeat picture of the UK economy than we've heard for a while. The Independent Office of Budget Responsibility does not expect a recession anymore in 2023. Economic growth will slip by 0.2%, but that's far better than its last forecast of 1.4%. The prediction of inflation at 2.7% by the end of December is also quite interesting. But there's a central thing in this sort of budget, which was like trying to get more people back to work. There was help with childcare, but it's changes in the pension space which are more significant in that front, really, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he did have some room for manoeuvre, I think, with the forecasts that were set out with the from the OBR. It was kind of two pronged, really. I think sort of the cost of living. You know, we had the much expected extension to the energy price guarantee. There were a bit of relief for households in terms of the extension of the fuel duty. Which was a fuel duty cut, which was set to expire at the end of March. So that's kind of welcome for motorists, and of course the childcare as well, which will be welcomed by lots of parents. But yeah, I think the real surprises that came out of the budget were related to pensions, and you know, similar to the childcare situation, it's really aimed at getting more people back into work and having a pension system that encourages continued workforce participation and removing those barriers to getting back into work. Yeah,
because there's been a real problem with labour market participation since the end of COVID, really. There was lots of people that took early retirement and haven't come back into the workforce, and on both sides of the Atlantic, this has been one of the big factors that the central banks have been looking at, because, you know, wage inflation had potentially of combining with inflation in other areas to create a wage price spiral. So labour market participation is quite a hot topic, really, at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And really what he's done is dismantled some of the barriers that were there in respect to the pension rules, one of those being the lifetime allowance, which is the limit on how much you can accumulate across all your pensions before facing a tax charge when you take benefits. So that had been frozen at just over a million until 2026, and it will now, having been sort of salami sliced for the last decade, disappear altogether. There were rumours ahead of the budget circulating that it would be being raised to 1.8 million, but he did away with it altogether. So if there was a rabbit out of a hat moment, that was it, and that is very significant, because squarely it is aimed, I think, probably at sort of NHS senior doctors and consultants, because, you know, a lot of those professionals were, you know, knocking up against this particular limit, and it was an obstacle to people returning to work or working longer in their career. But it really did affect a lot of people building up, provision for their retirement. Final salary pensions or defined benefit pensions are valued on the amount of income that's paid. It's 20 times that first year's amount of income in most cases. So you only have to get to a pension of £50,000 a year in retirement to start knocking up against that particular limit, and that's without taking into account tax-free cash amount as well. So you can see how it's quite easy to hit that limit. And instead of raising it, Mr. Hunt has done away with it altogether. And that means there's a whole world of pension planning opportunities that are opening up off the back of that.
Excellent. There's also a number of measures that I'm looking in terms of boosting long-term growth in high-wage, high-quality industries. There's an AI prize they announced as well as quantum computing incentives and biotechnology, and even quite a radical change in the way we approve medicines to make us more nimbler in the global space. These are all actually fairly sensible moves, do you not think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was quite a sort of forward-looking budget as well. And what struck me again was, some of the attention to those industries, and also energy policy as well, where he's gone down the road of, including nuclear as a sustainable option in terms of the power generation, which is quite a significant move, slightly divisive one in certain circles, but probably a pragmatic one in terms of what our energy mix is going to look like in the next decade.
And energy security, as we've seen in the last year, it's a really important issue, and nuclear power is fairly secure. If you look at France, who generates about 90% of their electricity from nuclear, their energy inflation has been pretty limited over there as well. So there are benefits in environmentally and sort of economically.
It comes at a time when everyone's thinking about their energy bills. What's the best way of getting energy bills down in the long term? It is about a sensible energy strategy, which perhaps has fallen down between the cracks in successive governments, and it is a way to counter that.
Yeah, but my entire career I've been hearing cries for a sensible energy strategy from the British government. Let's hope we finally get one. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Rob?
I think in terms of just expanding out on the sort of pension changes. So we've got the lifetime allowance, which was the kind of rabbit from the hat, but also people are going to be interested in the raise to the annual allowance as well, and that's the amount you can add in terms of your to your pension or accrue in your pension in terms of contributions each tax year, and that's going up from a standard £40,000 to £60,000 from April in the new tax year. And again, that's something that I think is going to help a lot of people out, because what we see really with sort of work patterns is quite a lumpy earnings scenario for a lot of people. They don't necessarily earn a consistent amount from year to year, and actually having quite a lot of flexibility around how much you can contribute in each tax year is really helpful. So I think that has really really added to the flexibility and the attraction of pensions as a long-term savings vehicle. And there was a particular wrinkle actually which he did iron out in terms of what's called the money purchase annual allowance, which is a smaller allowance for people who have already accessed taxable income from their pensions, such as through drawdown from age 55. And that was a complexity that reduced the annual allowance down from 40,000 to just £4,000 a year for people who return to work. And possibly with the aim of rebuilding their pension, perhaps if they've started raiding their pension to fill a gap in their earnings. He's actually increased that now to £10,000 from the new tax year. So again, aimed at encouraging people back to work and insisting people who've had sort of no choice but to raid their pensions, perhaps during COVID or during the escalating food and energy price rises that we've seen.
Excellent. Thanks very much. So all in all, a pretty positive response to Jeremy Hunt's statement today from both me and you, I would suggest.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. As always, a bit of devil in the details. So So do look on the website for the chapter and verse in terms of the pension rules in particular. But overall, yeah, very positive from a planning perspective, I think.
Yeah, and that's sort of coupled with the changes that were made in November last year with Mr. Hunt to, you know, dividend taxation and to CGT and stuff. You know, it's probably a good time to have a look at your personal finances now and take account of all these changes, because I don't recall them being so many major changes in this area so rapidly for quite a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in this budget, he has given back, you know, in terms of the pension opportunities, but he very much took in terms of the announcements in the autumn statement, where there was a reduction in some of the important allowances and thresholds. So for the dividend allowance, that was reduced, is going to be reduced to just £1,000 next tax year and £500 in 2024, having been as much as £5,000 in 2017. So, and similarly with capital gains tax, that was, you know, that was something that he announced in the autumn statement, and from next tax year, people are going to have to be aware that the £12,300 allowance falls to just £6,000, and then £3,000 from April 2024. So those reductions in allowances, along with the freezing of income tax bans, means a higher tax burden for a lot of people, and something to keep a good eye on as we approach the end of the tax year and move into the next one.
Brilliant. Thanks for very much, Rob. Excellent as ever. And thanks for listening.
Charles Stanley Radio. Subscribe today to be kept up to date with our latest releases. To find out more, visit charles-stanley.co.uk/charles-stanley-radio. The value of investments can fall as well as rise. Investors may get less back than invested. Past performance is not a reliable guide to the future.